desire and interest in your prayers today, your attention. I'd like to continue our study this morning of being alive and being ready. And I'll say again with a very a high sense of urgency, if I can say it that way, that I don't have any interest this morning in not being alive and not being ready. I can't think of anything worse than being spiritually dead and not being ready when the Lord comes back, being spiritually asleep. The good news this morning is that we don't have to be. It's avoidable. It's unnecessary. And we don't have to end life with the absence of life, which then ushers us into eternal death. We don't have to do that. And the Lord doesn't want us to be dead either. You know, I feel like sometimes, and I guess maybe I struggled with this a little bit in my life, where you can be concerned that the Lord is looking for more ways to cut you out than He is to bring you in. But the Lord wants to bring us in. He doesn't want to cut us off. He's not trying to look for ways to say, oh, I knew there must be something, you're out. No, the Lord wants to save us so much that He gave His life, that He died for the created. Have you ever thought about that? He's the one that created us, and then He turns around and gives His life that we might be saved. Behold, what love the Father has loved us. And that is so encouraging to think about that He came to bring us peace and made a way that we can be received in peace. And so what He does is He comes and He calls us each one by name. He calls us as individuals, and He says, come, drink of the water of life. And that is our responsibility this morning. That's our part, is to come and to keep coming. To come and seek peace, to come to seek reconciliation with Jesus, to come and do whatever is necessary that He would be willing to live in our hearts and in our lives. This is not a come and go. We talked about that last Sunday. The Lord doesn't want us to just come and introduce ourselves and then go. He doesn't want it just to be a camp meeting experience. Camp meeting experiences are good, and I'm not taking away from that. He doesn't want it to be a moment or just an incident in time that we look back on, but that there's nothing else. He wants us to come to Him, and He wants us to continue to come for the duration of our life. Is there a price for us? He paid the price that we couldn't pay, but is there a price for us? There is, and that is our price, that we would come, which means that we're necessarily going to have to be willing to leave some things if we're going to come and go to something else. And I guess in some ways it costs us everything. We're not able to pay the price for eternal life. Jesus paid that, but it does cost us, and sometimes it may feel like, and indeed it is, we have to give everything. The good news again is that we all can all afford it, because the Lord doesn't ask of any of us more than what we're able to pay. We've been talking about and focusing on four areas that are necessary to find peace with God, to maintain peace with the Lord, and to be received in peace, and purposefully continue to write them on the board. I want it hopefully to be something that is imprinted in your hearts and your minds, and that we don't ever get in the place where we feel like that I've done that. Now I've moved on and that's no longer a part of my life. I think it is an ongoing part of our life for us to be at peace with the Lord. And the first one that we talked about last Sunday is that we believe into Jesus. The second is that we repent of our sins. Third is that we grow our relationship with Jesus. And the fourth is that we live our lives so that there's nothing between our soul and the Savior. This morning, the message is focused on repentance of sin. And I'd like to say to all of us, to all of you this morning, that repentance of sin, let me back up. This message is to everyone today. This message of repentance is to everyone. If you're here this morning and you feel like that, well, I believe in Jesus and I've repented of my sins and I'm done with that. I can maybe wait for another day for another message of something that more applies to my life. You might miss something critical in being at peace with God when He comes back. This is a message for all of us, that we understand the importance of what repentance is, and that as we live our Christian life, that we understand when it's necessary to repent, so that there will be nothing between our soul and the Savior. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, preached in the third chapter of Matthew in the second verse. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then Jesus in Matthew 4 and 17, at the beginning of His public ministry, He said, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And then the disciples and Paul continued that ministry. And Peter preached in the third chapter of Acts in the 19th verse. And he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." So, if it was important for John the Baptist to preach repentance, and then when Jesus came and began to preach, He preached a message of repentance. And then when the disciples and the apostles began their ministry and they preached a message of repentance. Must be an important subject. Must be important to understand this thing of repentance so that we can be saved. So what does it mean, and why is repentance necessary? Sin is what separates us, what separates from God. From the very beginning, we can go back into the garden when they partook of that which was prohibited by God and they sinned. They did that which they knew that God had specifically told them not to do, and they did it willingly and listened to the enemy and made a choice to follow the way of the serpent and the enemy versus the way of God. Sin is what separates from God and what separates from life. Because Jesus is life. Jesus is light. Jesus is truth. Jesus is without sin. God is righteous. In Him is no darkness. And so necessarily, if sin is present, that prevents union with that where there is no sin. And where it is righteousness only, and where it's truth. You see, sin can't become part of God because He's everything that sin is not. He's everything that truth, He's everything that is absent truth. He is everything that's absent darkness. And so when He looked down and He saw us, He saw a people in great need. He saw darkness. He saw the absence of truth. He saw unrighteousness. He saw sin. And there wasn't anything that we could do on our own that would allow a reunion with God. And so He had a plan that which was righteous, and that which was truth and light, would be willing to pay a price that we were unable to pay in Jesus Christ. And that is the reason that we can now have union with God, because sin was addressed in that way. The issue of sin, the thing of sin, has to be addressed. It has to be dealt with if we're going to have union and peace with God. If we are to be alive in Christ, if we're to be ready with oil in our lamps, with the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we're going to have dealt with the sin business through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's why Jesus came. To do what we couldn't do. Thank the Lord. But we have a part. We have a part in all of this, and that is repentance. And so what is repentance? It's important to understand this morning that repentance is more than just simply saying, I'm sorry. Repentance certainly means that we are contrite, that that there's contrition, and that we regret what we did, but repentance also means and is translated as a turning away from. It's a change. It's a change in our mind. It's a change in our heart. It's redirection, which is followed by a change in behavior and change in action. Repentance then is not just being sorry about something and then continuing along down the same path that we were on. Hey, sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that. And then we turn around and we continue to live according to the very things that we professed sorrow about. Repentance means more than that. It has everything to do with the heart. Repentance has everything to do with getting to the foundation from which our actions and behavior come from in our lives. There's got to be a recognition of the need that we have, that where I am, it's not right. And I need help because I can't do this on my own. And so repentance involves a turning to Jesus Christ. Turning away from that which we know is wrong. That's the change that's involved with repentance. And it is a turning to the one that can cover the price that we can't cover. Turning to Jesus Christ. It's not just turning away from what's wrong and say, I'm going to do different. There's a lot of good people in life. There's a lot of good people that live good moral lives. And sadly, there's a lot of good people that live good moral lives that are going to be like the five foolish virgins that we preached about 2 or 3 weeks ago that weren't ready. Good people. Maybe they turned from wrong, but godly repentance, godly sorrow, it not only involves turning away from that which is wrong, we can justify ourselves in that falsely. I'm not saying it's not good to do that, but to complete the work, repentance in its fullness is turning away from what is wrong and turning to Jesus Christ. Turning to the one that can cover what we are unable to cover. And then it is accompanied by a willingness to follow, to grow a relationship with Jesus Christ. Growing our relationship means following. Another message for a different time. But this is what repentance means. It's deep. Jesus shed His blood. He suffered greatly. He hung on the cross. He was innocent. And He didn't just do that for a people to just casually come by and say, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. And then this is the way I want to live and continue to live however we want to live. Repentance involves a turning away from. Not continuing to live where sin just continues to reign in. Well, the Scripture says in the 6th chapter of Romans in the 12th verse, let not sin therefore reign in your, does it say immortal body or mortal body? Say again. In your mortal body. What's our mortal body? The one that we get after we die? No, it's now, y'all. It's It's the life that we're living now. It's on this earth is our mortal body. And the scripture clearly says in the sixth chapter of Romans, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey and follow after the lusts of it. The teaching of just sin you will, sin you must, and we're just casual about how we live because thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ, and we just continue to live after that which we know is wrong, and there's not a turning away from it, and there's just an acceptance of it in our lives. We're missing it. If that's what we're living after, we're gonna be unfulfilled spiritually. We're gonna be disappointed in our spiritual Christian life. We're gonna be left empty. We're gonna be without peace. We're not gonna be alive. We're gonna be spiritually dead. And we may be trying to follow certain things and maybe belong to a religious group that maybe they accept us, and maybe our name's written in a book somewhere in a church building, a chapel. But if we continue to just give our lives to sin, to live after however we want to live, we're going to be spiritually dead. We're not going to be alive. And so Paul said, don't let sin reign. That's a key word there. Let not therefore sin reign. What does the word reign mean? Rule. Let not sin have the rule of your life. Let not sin have the preeminence of your life. Let not sin control how you live. Because sin's no longer king. Jesus is our king. That's who we follow after. That's who we are now serving, is Jesus Christ in His righteousness. That we are turning away from all that is in this world. This is Scripture. All that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, says it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And it said that the things of this world are going to pass away and the lust thereof. Those things are going to pass away. But those that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, will last forever. That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to live life now so that you can have assurance that hey, I've got a hold of life that's going to go forever? Don't you want to live so that you feel the presence and spirit of Jesus Christ in you so that when we are assailed, when we do face trouble in life, that we know that we have life residing in us in Jesus Christ. That's why the scripture then says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin any longer? Shall we just, since grace is there, unmerited favor of God, since the blood was shed, He paid the price I couldn't pay, should I just then say, well, thank the Lord for that. Now I can live however I want so that grace can abound. The scripture says, no, don't do that. Shall we just continue because grace is present, continue in sin? God forbid. Let's not do that. 1 John 2:1, another verse. It says, my little children, I write unto you. How did he start this? My little children, with love. Jesus loves you. Jesus is not out to try to... He's not out there to try to catch us and to try to set up a plan where it's impossible for us to live the kind of life that we can be received in peace. My little children, I love you. I write unto you. Stay with me. I write unto you that ye sin not. Don't sin. I came for something more than that. I write unto you, don't sin. Jesus said that to many of the people that he healed. He said, go and sin no more. His primary objective was not the healing of their bodies, but the healing of their souls. And he healed their bodies in some respects to show the power that he had to heal their souls and to forgive sins. And he would raise them up, and then he would say, go in peace. Go and sin no more. You don't live the same life that she before lived. But you know what else it says? Thank God. And if any man sin, if you do sin, if you mess up, if you fall, if you go against the will of God, anybody here ever gone against the will of God? Is there anybody here that has erred and fallen and messed up? I have. And I'm thankful that it says that if you do mess up, if you do sin, if you get caught up in a temptation and you fail, this says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a representative in Jesus Christ to the Father. And He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the great reconciler. Well, I can't do it on my own. Jesus Christ said, you've got a high priest that's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for you. Thank the Lord. He abundantly provides a way out for us. And we are advocated for. We are advocated for when we come with an humble heart. We are advocated for when we come with godly sorrow and repentance. When we come with an attitude of, yes, regret and contrition, but also where we come with a willingness to turn away from. And not just continue to go, Lord, I messed up, I failed. Lord, I don't even know hardly how that happened. Lord, I didn't know that was in me. Lord, I was weak and I should have been strong, and that's not where my heart is. That's not where I want to go. Lord, would you have mercy on me? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something about it. That's repentance. That's a turning away from. That's not just an acceptance of the same old thing and saying, I'm sorry. That is when Jesus Christ advocates for us. I'd like to read another scripture in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Okay, this is talking about a sorrow, but not any old kind of sorrow. This is speaking of a godly sorrow. It could have just said, sorrow that worketh something, and it does here in a minute, something else. But it starts off speaking of a godly sorrow. It's godly sorrow that works repentance. It's a godly sorrow that works the type of repentance that results in a change. And this said, a godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. That's where salvation comes from, is from a godly sorrow that is not only sorrow, but it is a sorrow that is also coupled with repentance. Turning away from, a change of heart. And this says, not to be repented of. You think, well, what does that mean? For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. This means where there's no regret when you get done. Where you're not saying, well, I'm sorry about that, Lord. And then we continue to go down the same path that we always went down. And there's still this absence of peace. And there's not life. And we're not ready to meet the Lord. And we look back and we feel like we have to repent again because we never really repented in the first place. This said, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's people that are sorrowful, that well, I'm sorry, I wish it weren't that way, but they continue to go down the same road that leads to death. Folks, if we can be sorry about something, but if we continue to walk down a road where at the end of the road is the absence of life, and we continue to go down that road no matter how we feel, when we get to the end of the road, there's going to be the absence of life. And so this said that that's the sorrow of the world. It results in what's at the end of the line, the absence of life. But godly sorrow, on the other hand, worketh repentance in a way that life results. We don't have to repent of it again. And then this says, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after of a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. What indignation. Oh, why did I do that? Oh, I don't want that in my life. Yea, what fear. Lord, I don't want to be found without life. Lord, have mercy on me. Yea, what vehement desire. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to serve you. I want to be one of your children. What zeal. Yea, what revenge. I didn't look up what the meaning of what the Greek word was for that, but what went through my mind was, I'm gonna seek revenge against what was wrong with doing right. I'm gonna make this right. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. John the Baptist said in the third chapter of Matthew, bring therefore fruit meet for repentance. When we repent, then let the fruit of your lives prove out what you said with your lips. The repentance. Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. This is where life is found. Repentance then, by the grace of God, cleanses our hearts. It brings healing to the guilt. It sets the stage for having a relationship with Jesus Christ. True repentance does that. Something else to understand before we close. Repentance involves more than just me and God. The Scripture says in the 5th chapter of Matthew in the 23rd verse, it said that if when you bring your gift to the altar, if when you come and you bring an offering of repentance to God, and you remember, oh, I did wrong against so-and-so. I didn't handle myself right. I wasn't a Christian to them. I did them wrong. Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar. It's in good hands. I know you came. I'm not going to let it disappear. It's in good hands. I got it. Now, leave it there and go first and reconcile with the one that you have issue with. And then when that's done, then come back and your gift will be received. You know, sometimes it'd be a lot easier if we could just be between us and God. Do wrong to other people and then feel, oh, that wasn't right to do that, and ask the Lord for forgiveness only. No. Folks, we have a responsibility to go with humility and ask for forgiveness those that we know we have done wrong. I remember when I was in high school one time, I think I was a junior in high school. It was in weight training class where we all wanted to be tough and strong, and I got into it with an older boy, and I was trying to live right. I wanted to live for Jesus. I was trying to live saved, and I cared about what the Lord thought about me, but that day I got carried away, and I acted, reacted in a non-Christian-like way. And I went home that night, and the Lord put His finger on it. And it wasn't going to be enough for me just to ask God for forgiveness. He let me know, you got to make that right. And as I look back on it, I feel like it was one of those Ebenezer stones that the Lord was trying to teach me a lesson. And I was like, Lord, not him. I've got to go to him. I'm not judging his heart because I can't judge his heart. But back then, I viewed him as somebody it was hard to humble down to, because I felt like he wasn't humble, and that was probably the reason why I got into it with him. It's like, Lord, I've got to face him every... No, you've got to make it right. So I went back the next day and saw him in the locker room. He was by himself, and I said, yesterday I didn't talk to you in the right way. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And I hope that everything can be okay between us, because I didn't do right. And it was like the Lord had gone before me. He blew me away. He said, oh, man. He said, I didn't handle myself right either. He said, and we weren't, wasn't like we were friends. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I didn't do right. He said, don't worry about it. It's cool. We both left that day with our hearts on cloud nine. And it's not that everybody that we apologize to is going to receive our apology. And it's not that it's going to always go that way. But it was a lesson for me that the Lord goes before us. And the Lord will help us. And I'm sorry to say to you today that wasn't the last time I had to ask for forgiveness. I've had to apologize many times since then. And because you're human, you're probably going to have to repent too, throughout the course of your life, for some things. I want to just say, where we live, the Lord teaches us about ourselves, and sometimes there's things about ourselves we don't realize until it comes out in a not very pretty way. And when that happens, don't feel like, well, Christians don't sin and Christians don't do wrong, so I can't really apologize or act like it's wrong, because if I do that, then necessarily maybe that means I wasn't right in the first place. Look, y'all, Jesus teaches us that if we know we've done something that's not right, to ask for forgiveness. And that is when the weights can be lifted from our own souls. It doesn't mean that we've turned away from God and we're just pursuing our own way. Brother Asta said one time, he was sitting around the table and he said something and it came out in kind of a carnal way, and he said everyone around the table looked at him, and he says, I was just as shocked as everybody else around the table. And he had to get forgiveness from the Lord and forgiveness from the people around the table. When we can clear ourselves with God and man, that is where life is found. Let's be willing to do it. In conclusion this morning, repentance is characterized by recognizing that we need help, that we can't do it on our own, that I've sinned, that I'm wrong. And then repentance is characterized by reaching out to the one that can cover the price. Reaching out, holding on, and having faith in the mercy of God. And true repentance involves then a turning away from our way and turning to follow after Jesus Christ. Repentance is characterized by those that, with a sense of urgency and persistence, follow after righteousness and holiness, being set apart unto God and living in a way that He's pleased with. So be at peace with God this morning. We're going to have to believe into Jesus. We're going to have to be willing to repent of our sins. And my prayer this morning again is, Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. Lord, would You forgive me of what I've done wrong, and forgive me of my sins, and help me to make right with my fellow man where I have wronged them, and give me the grace, Lord, to be able to turn away from that human part of me that would tend to go after things that are unrighteous, and help me to follow You, Lord, in an humble way. This morning, let's be encouraged to believe into Jesus Christ, to be willing to repent of our sins with humility. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.